Slowly, Ryan became aware of his surroundings. He had no idea how long he'd been unconscious, but the sun was still high and hot. He remembered the perfume, bringing a flashback of the amazing sensation it had wrought. An instantaneous, almost orgasmic disconnect from his normal consciousness, as if sheared away by a blow from a long blade. He recalled drifting upward, joyous, freed of his body and all its restraints. Though he was certainly back in his body now, some of the detachment remained. He felt like a spectator. He couldn't summon up the strength or the desire to fight what was happening to him, to return to the way he was before the perfume. Ryan's head turned, though he had no sense of having willed it, and couldn't stop it. He saw the others around him, his companions and the carny chillers. Things appeared to him in a series of freeze frames. Instead of shadows on faces, he saw bands of beautiful pure colors. Lavender, blue, yellow. He wanted to pull his SIG from its holster, but he couldn't make his hand reach for it. The failed effort was exhausting. He didn't need the blaster anyway. No one was fighting. Everyone looked dazed and barely able to move. Dean stood right where Ryan had left him, and the little girl was there too by his side. Their eyes were open and blinking. They appeared to be all right. He caught a whiff of a wonderful scent riding on the breeze. Food. Delicious food. He hadn't even realized how hungry he was. Suddenly, the gnawing ache in his stomach was more than he could bear. He wasn't alone. Companions and carnies roused themselves and began shuffling away from the lake. The violent storms had subsided. The lightning was no more. The low-hanging clouds had vanished. The lake's surface was a gentle mirror of sky. As Ryan walked beside his son, a hand gripped his shoulder from behind. Ryan shrugged Doc's hand away. They all marched in time to the gong beat echoing up from the ville below. Ryan felt disjointed and clumsy, like he had pillows for feet. Though they were all famished, no one hurried to be first. They all moved at the same rate, dictated by the rhythmic banging. The lake sat on a plateau. Beyond the mud bank was a long incline of limestone bedrock. They climbed carefully over the moss and spike grass that rimmed the deep crumbling fissures dotting the slope. There was flowing water. It seeped steadily from the bottoms of the cracks. It was as if the whole hillside leading down to the ville were weeping. When he and Dean reached the bottom, Ryan ignored the little hamlet. He followed his ears and nose to the center of the square, where a black man with dreadlocks was hammering on the side of a 55-gallon steel barrel with a chunk of firewood. He had a raging hot fire burning in the barrel, and a metal grate was pulled over the flames. Heaped on the grate, like a stack of cannonballs, were the sizzling sources of the delicious aromas.
"Come on now! Don't be shy. I got plenty here. It's real Jamaican jerk. Get it while it's hot."
Even though Ryan wanted what was on that grill more than he'd ever wanted anything, he didn't push. No one did. Everyone seemed to be in the same state. Able to move, but rockily. Part of him knew that things were very wrong. He should have gone for his 18-inch punga a long time ago and started cutting chiller throats. His companion should have been doing likewise, but the proximity of their mortal enemies no longer seemed to matter to any of them. They were possessed of only one desire, to eat what was being offered. For all the black smoke coming off the grate and the folks standing in line in front of him, Ryan couldn't even see what he was waiting for. It didn't matter either. The line slowly advanced. Dean reached the head of the line in front of his father. The boy shuffled off without a word, juggling between his hands a smoking, char-roasted glob that his father barely got a glimpse of. It was big, though, the size of a ripe melon. Using the piece of firewood, the cook rolled another glob out of the flames for Ryan. It looked like a 20-pound meteorite.
"There you go. The best you'll ever eat."
Ryan grabbed it with eager fingers. It burned him, but he wouldn't let it drop. He juggled the smoking glob and sat in the dirt beside his son. Dean was already tearing into his food, as was the little girl. Ryan took his first bite. It was roast beef, more succulent than any he'd ever eaten. The outer part was crispy and tasted heavily of rubbed spice. The charred flesh came off in juicy shreds under his teeth. Inside, the roast was so tender it melted in his mouth. The more he ate, the more he wanted. He ate the whole thing, and when he was done, licked the sweet grease from his fingers. Stomach bulging, he lay back on his elbows. Dean curled up on his side, unable to budge. Everyone else was flat on their backs, with their eyes closed. Ryan was no longer hungry, but he was getting sleepy. Disinterestedly, he took in the immediate surroundings. The only building of note was the low concrete blockhouse across the square, which was obviously pre-dark. The rest of the villa was a shit heap of ramshackle, dirt-floored lean-tos, barely tall enough to crawl into. Clouds of black flies swarmed over the open latrines and trench sewer. In a corner of the square stood a pre-dark metal chair. It had straps looped around both arms, and on the chair back was a dark, broad stain that looked like dried blood. Flies hovered over it, and the long piece of iron pipe that leaned against it. Ryan dozed off to the seesaw droning buzz of the flies. He was awakened with a start a few minutes later by a sound that he couldn't place. He sat up and looked around. Others were stirring as well. He realized that the noise was coming from a wag engine when he saw the approaching Baja bug. To him, it sounded as though it were underwater, and it had a strange shimmering halo around it, a purple and rose glow that had nothing to do with its flat gray paint job. When the bug stopped beside the square and the driver got out, Ryan's jaw dropped in astonishment. He opened his mouth to speak, but words failed him. He thought he'd never see Trader again.